Hello, folks. It's me, DJ Hacksaw, in place of your regularly scheduled programming. Unfortunately, the regular hosts were a bit busy, so I have taken over their spot. So far, I'll just be playing music for the first half hour. Then we have a very special guest on. It's a very purple and gold episode this week. We have Laurier football star and host of Hawkeye, Jothan Safarlee, sorry for that mispronunciation, coming on at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about why he chose Laurier to play football for. We'll talk about how he became a DJ when he started football. It'll be a great show, folks. I've got lots of music coming at you, lots of fun times. So I hope you all can enjoy. I hope you all are enjoying Black Friday, too. It is Black Friday this week, today. Lots of sales going on. Talked about that last week. I hope you all took part in the poll that was going on my Twitter page, on the Bravo Sierra Hour Twitter page. It was, do you stay in Canada when you shop for Black Friday, or do you go into other countries like the U.S.? Most of you responded and said that you stay in Canada for the Black Friday event. However, personally, I can see both sides of it. Lots of stuff is cheaper in the U.S. Personally, I do like to stay in Canada, though. Bit of a weirdo that way. So right now, we'll just be playing a little music for you. Right now, we have a indie roots music coming on, Self-Destructive by Ernst Pretty. And we're back, folks. Like I said before, at the beginning of the show, I am DJ Hacksaw. Your regular scheduled program, unfortunately, couldn't make it out today. I had some important stuff to do, so I am taking over the radio a half hour early. That's right. More blessings for your ears. It's Black Friday today, as you know, folks. Lots of sales going down. Last week, we went over all the best places to get gadgets, gizmos, fashion, all that fun stuff for Christmas. And what are your favorite traditions for Christmas or any other religious holiday you may celebrate? Personally, I celebrate Christmas. However, what are your favorite sort of things to do on Christmas? Personally, I like to see family, go out, you know, usually go up to my grandfather's cottage, all that good stuff. But, you know, sometimes I'll just sit back with my family, we'll set up the Christmas tree. We always have gingerbread making, you know, we make a nice house, and then we'll always, you know, slowly eat away at it, take the candy off the roof, all that fun stuff, and yeah. But what are your fun holiday traditions? Tweet at me at the real DJ Hacksaw or at Bravo Sierra Hour on Twitter. Message us on Instagram. We are always accepting messages from fans. If you want to request a song, you can do the same. Tweet at us, Instagram. We even have a Facebook page. Yes, we have a Facebook page. I am that dedicated to this show. I love my fans so much, even though there's maybe only 100 or 200 of you, but hey, we have a good time here on the Bravo Sierra Hour. This next song, it's fairly festive. It's by the Dropkick Murphys. Yes, the Dropkick Murphys, the Boston Hooligans. They actually came out with a Christmas song. The season is upon us. And a Merry Christmas to everyone here from the Bravo Sierra Hour. Now, luckily for me, that song does not represent my family. We are a very functional family. We're not that crazy, luckily, but we do have our fun Christmas traditions. We always have turkey and things like that. One Christmas tradition coming from a fan is, they say, my Christmas tradition is putting decorations on the Christmas tree with my kids, only to have my wife remove them and reposition them while we're not looking. Wives, am I right? I'm kidding. I love my mother, who's my father's wife, and hopefully one day I have a wife who I love just as much. But I can see how that'd be a bit of a problem in that household. Again, if you have any sort of festive songs you want to request for this episode of Bravo Sierra Hour, or just songs in general that you want to request that I play, tweet at me, Instagram message me. Again, at about 1 o'clock, we will be having a football star from Laurier coming on. He's a Laurier star and also a fellow DJ here. He hosts Hawkeyes. He is Laureate football star and host of Hawkeyes, Jothan Selfarli. I'll try to pronounce his name better, but he'll be coming on at about 1 o'clock, and it's going to be a great show. We're going to talk about his rise through football, how he got started, why he became a DJ, why he chose Laureate as his home school to play for and to study at. And it's going to be a good show, folks. I hope you stick around for that. In the meantime, I'll be playing some great songs for you guys here, Christmas-themed and otherwise. It's just going to be a good time all around, and I hope you stick with me. This next song is another Christmas song from one of my favorite bands, Thousand Foot Crutch. They are a rock-slash-metal band that came out with a Christmas album. Well, not a Christmas album, but they've been on multiple Christmas albums. And this comes from a classical Christmas movie. I think it was The Year Without a Santa Claus. Tweet at me to correct me if I am wrong, but it's a metal version of the Heat Miser song from, I think it was Year Without a Santa Claus.
Let's make this hot.
And we're back, folks. That was the Heat Miser song from, I believe, The Year Without Santa Claus, but can't be 100% sure. I think it was that, but it was the metal version of that song played by Thousand Foot Crutch, a personal favorite band of mine. I have a very strange taste in music, folks. I like metal, country, rap. No, not rap so much, but metal, country, a little bit of rap here and there. So I'll be playing very interesting versions of all your favorite Christmas songs. That's right, it's an extended episode of the Bravo Sierra Hour. Aren't you all so lucky to be blessed with my voice for another hour and 15 minutes? We're going to have a great time here, folks. In about an hour, we're going to have Jothan coming on. He's one of our favorite football players here at the Bravo Sierra Hour, just because he's also a DJ here at Radio Laureate. He hosts Hawkeyes, and we'll be talking about what he does on his show. Talking about where he sees the show going in the future, where he sees himself going in the future, football-wise, career-wise, all that fun stuff. So I hope you stick with us, and we're just going to be having a good time here, folks. So again, we're talking about Christmas so far, so if you want to tweet at us with any fun traditions you have for Christmas or any other holidays, we will happily talk about it. Now I've got some fun holiday games that you can play while you are just, you know, with family or with friends. One is based on the card game Spoons. If you've ever played Spoons, it's like that, but with candy canes. So you'll need a deck of cards and three or more people. Just get a good group of people around you. And then you'll want a few candy canes, and everyone takes turns pulling cards with the goal to be the first to get four of a kind. So four kings, four queens, four aces, that sort of thing. Once you do get all four of a kind, you take the candy cane as stealthily as possible. Once this happens, everyone else races to grab the candy cane, and the person who doesn't grab a candy cane is eliminated. You do this until all the people have been eliminated, and the winner gets all the candy canes. So anyone with a sweet tooth, that is perfect for you. We'll be going on a bit with some more fun holiday cheer. Like I said, I have a very strange taste in music, so we'll be playing the rap version now of We Three Kings. And we are back with the Bravo Sierra Hour. I am now joined by Jothan.
How's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
So, Jothan, just tell the people who you are and just give us a little background about yourself.
All right. So, I'm Jothan. In my fourth year here. Taking communications, kind of going through school right now. I'm from Cambridge, so kind of local. So, I still drive in. Never had that res experience.
I'm actually from Cambridge, too.
Nice. So, what high school did you go to?
GCI.
Oh,
you went to GCI, too. Yeah. I saw that on your Instagram. I was like, hey!
I know, right? It's a legendary school.
Oh, yeah.
My co-host, Kiefer, he went to GCI as
Kiefer,
well. Kiefer Whitehead.
I think I know him I don't know.
Yeah, so he went to GCI as well. So we're a little Cambridge crew there.
Oh, nice. Cambridge is taking over Radio Laureate.
Yeah, hey, listen. I don't think we get enough recognition in Cambridge for having the talent we do.
I mean, we probably have some of the best football guys in Cambridge, if we're being honest.
And then, So yeah, so I came, now I was at GCI in Cambridge. My family moved from Mississauga, so grew up in Mississauga and kind of Cambridge split.
So when did you move from Mississauga to Cambridge?
Oh, when did I move? Probably when I was, I want to say, going into grade 5. So it was kind of like, I did my early years up in Mississauga, and then kind of like, so like, I consider myself from Cambridge because like, I did high school and everything here. So like, yeah.
That's when you really develop who you are.
Exactly. You develop your friends and everything like that. So I'd say I'm from Cambridge. So yeah, I'm proud to rep it.
So you're obviously known for your, not only being a host here, but you're a big football guy for Laurier.
Yeah.
So what position do you play for?
So, last year, or like this season that just passed, I played Will linebacker. So it's one of the three linebackers. That was a first for me this year. Previously, I was kind of more outside playing DB. So moving inside the box was kind of something new for me, but I embraced it. Coach said, hey, we think you can do it. So I was like, why not?
Exactly. And when did you start off playing football? Like, was this like all through your life, or did you start maybe in high school?
No. So football was, so back when I was really young, kind of, it was always soccer, baseball, more of the cheaper sports. I wanted to play hockey. My parents were like, we can't afford hockey. It's expensive. So, which was fine for me. I didn't really care that much. So it was until I got to high school that I was kind of like, okay, let me try this. I want to try this football thing. I have an older brother. He's about 3 years older than me. And so he was playing high school football. So I was like, I really want to do it. He takes credit for thinking that he got me on the football train. But actually, what happened when we were back in Mississauga before grade 5, I think it was in grade 4, and I wanted to go play football for the city. So I was like, Dad, I really want to play football. He was like, are you sure? They knew nothing about football. We knew nothing about football. So
even with your older brother in, they had no knowledge.
Yeah, this was before he even played. Oh, this was okay. Before he even played, ooh. Yeah. So I was like, I want to play. And my dad called the coach, kind of like trying to get information. And the guy was like, listen, we're cool with having your son, but we think he's a little undersized. Like, I wasn't even 60 pounds yet.
Huh. And just for reference now, this Jothan is not a small man.
No, I'm about 5'11", 210.
Yeah, so to say that he's undersized is now looking at him, it's laughable.
I think it was funny. So I was like, I had to be 60 pounds. So I was getting on the scale being like, okay, did I hit 60 pounds yet? And I was like, my dad was like, I'm sorry, man, you can't play. So once I got to high school, that's when I really started. Had an awesome coach there who really put a lot of faith in me to be like, you're capable of playing at that next level. So that was awesome for me.
Who's your coach?
Andrew Nowak.
Mr. Nowak.
Yeah.
I love that man. He is awesome.
He's a great coach. He's one of those people where he took it seriously. He took football seriously, where you would say, hey, I'm gonna go and work really hard to do good, but he made it a fun atmosphere. So it was genuinely a good experience. Even in other classes, he was just a fun teacher to have. I don't think I actually ever had him as a specific teacher.
Me neither, but he was always just a really nice guy. He has a whole sleeve now.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I have heard about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently his daughters chose out the entire sleeve, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So why did you choose Laurier to play football at?
I didn't choose Laurier at all. Or Laurier didn't choose me at all. It was more, I hadn't been recruited. I wasn't recruited at all. No offers on the table. I really didn't even have any scouts specifically looking at me. What actually happened was I had applied for, I really only had two university choices in mind. That was York and here. I'm so thankful I didn't go to York. I mean, they have more funding for certain aspects of different things, but I mean, let's be real. I don't want to go to that concrete jungle.
No, I'm glad you're here too, trust me.
So I actually got accepted into very similar programs at York and here. So when it came time for the decision, my parents were really heavily on the side of, why go to York? It's going to cost you a whole bunch more money because then you're going to have to live and all these other things. And it was kind of a lot easier just to say, okay, you know what? Let me just go to Laurier. I can drive every day and it'll be easier. So I just went my first year, first semester. I was just a regular student here, not playing any sports, didn't really do anything. I kind of knew some of the coaches from playing younger in city football. Right. I had asked, I said, hey, is there a way I can get a tryout? So winter came, and so I tried out for the team, and I was one of the only people to make it that year. So that was awesome.
Well, the only, so they like had people already on the team trying out and they're like, yeah, instantly on? Or tell me how that works.
So what happens is, so after the season, they don't do it in season. They do it in the winter. So starting from January till about, I think, spring camp's the end of March, they have a bunch of, like, anybody can walk on. So if you feel, hey, I've played football before, they'll give you some equipment. They'll bring you to the practices, once a week practices on Friday. And they'll say, okay, well, and you just go. They'll kind of walk you through. They give you the coaching and just put you through the paces to see, are you a guy mentally that can handle it? Can you handle it physically? Are you willing to be at this level?
Are you dedicated?
Exactly. They really want to weed out the guys. And that comes through morning workouts, through practice. And they really throw a lot at you. They don't hold it back because they're like, oh, you're trying out. They really throw that playbook at you. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a massive learning curve. And it's to see the guys who are saying, I care about football and I want to make it. You got to almost think this is pro football, but it's for free.
They want to find out who wants to be there.
Exactly.
And I think I can really draw a parallel to the, like, military life.
Yeah.
And basic training sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone who will go through basic training will tell you it sucks all the time. But that's what they're doing with basic training and with football trials. They're trying to weed out the people who maybe are not as dedicated as they should be or as dedicated as other people who actually want to go out and do what you got to do, whether it's on the football field or on the battlefield.
Exactly. And I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's like you get Navy SEALs. Like, all the guys that are trying to train to be a Navy SEAL, let's be real, they're all qualified.
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing soldiers. They're all in great physical condition, but it's coming down to those last few guys where you're saying, to be an elite unit, to be one of the best football teams in the country, to be one of the elite units in the world, what do you have to do? You have to be dedicated and you have to be that extra mile. So I think that's what the tryouts really put you through.
Oh, yeah. And I actually got to meet some Marines. I was down in the U.S. I can very much attest to that, what you were saying with the heavy trainings. Those guys are intense.
Yeah. So, and I mean, when I got to Laurier for football, it was very different, the atmosphere. I think what was different is kind of when you go into high school, you're kind of a kid.
Yeah.
And then you leave high school, you feel like a man.
But you're not a man
And
yet.
That's the difference, is that you get to university and you're, what, 17, 18, 19?
Yeah.
But when you're at football practice, there are guys who can easily be 23, 24. Like, it could be easy to be 20.
And they're, like, so much bigger than you.
Exactly. They've been working out. So it kind of was a test when you're the physicality of going against a guy that is 20, in his mid-20s, was 23, versus a guy who was, I didn't work out that much. And it was like, okay, whoa, this is a lot.
Whoa.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like that jump up plus trying to get to that level. It was hard. The tryouts, honestly, were really hard. That came with 3 6 a.m. workouts a week.
Whew.
And they weren't, and I mean, the workouts themselves were pretty good, but it was the Wednesdays that killed me. So we used to do Wednesday runs in the gymnasium, in the AC.
Oh, man.
And those were like wind sprints sometimes.
That must have been killer.
Oh, those were the worst. I dreaded Wednesday mornings. When I could get to, once I knew I was like 7 o'clock on a Wednesday, I was like, we're good. We're good.
We made it.
And that was all it was. Sometimes you just wanted to make it. But it was hard. I mean, the whole tryout process, trust me, if you can get scouted, and I'm just going to put that advice out there. Yeah. If you can get scouted, do it, because it is so much
easier than going through tryouts.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like, there were days where I was waking up, right? Because I live in Cambridge. So The drive, especially in the winter, it can easily be 40 minutes, like an hour.
So what time were you usually waking up at to get through?
To get for a 6 a.m. lift, I was usually waking up about 5:50.
Ooh.
And that, sometimes I even had a class in the evening. So I had a night lecture, and then it was like, okay, I got to get home to get back to bed so I can get up again. The 2-4 couches, the couches in the 2-4 were my bed sometimes. Because I would wake up, go to that 6 a.m., and then just crash on the couch. Because
that was probably the scariest thing someone's ever seen, just this big football player just crashed on a couch.
But hey, I had to do what I had to do to survive, and that was it.
Oh, yeah. So what's it like being a university football player while also balancing classes and things like that?
I think there are a couple things. It's kind of that's a pretty loaded question. I feel the first thing that comes to mind is it's absolutely worth it. Everything you do is, it's hard work, but I mean, the relationships you develop, just the love for your school and putting that time and effort in, everything that you get through that, it's so worth it. But that saying that, I mean, it does come with a lot of a sacrifice. And that's sometimes you just want to, you don't want to go to practice. I mean, we practice every day in season. We practice every day for 4 hours. Well, it's like it's an hour and a half meeting.
And then watch tape, things like that.
Yeah, and then we have practice after. So it can be a long day, especially if you've had class in the morning. You have to go work out. It's hard to take a full load of classes. So it comes with, you can't hang out with friends, maybe. Sometimes you can't go out at night because you're like, listen, I gotta be up early tomorrow. So it comes with a lot of sacrifice. But
at the same time, you'd say it's worth it overall?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I think, honestly, just the experience of going through everything that I have done so far for football, it's just been, it's been 100% one of the best experiences of my life, because you get an appreciation not only for the sport and for the relationships, but just a little bit of yourself, because, you know, you've stuck out through really hard crap sometimes, and yeah. You said, hey, you know what, I can make it through this. I can almost make it through anything.
Exactly. Now, if it's all right with you, we're going to go on a quick break here.
Yeah, for sure.
And then when we come back, we're going to learn more about your football career as well as you becoming a DJ.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a special song dedicated to a very good friend of mine, One by U2. And we're back. I'm here with Jothan, the football player and the radio host. How you doing?
I'm doing great, yeah.
Not bad. So I know this is a big concern for some parents who, you know, might want to sign their kids up for football and things like that. It's the brain trauma that's, you know, Will Smith was in a movie.
Concussion. Yeah, yeah. Seen the movie, yeah.
Yeah, good movie. So what's your take on that? I know my parents, they have a large fear, because I did MMA for a little while, of concussions. So yeah. What's your take on it?
I mean, I think football, of course, it's dangerous. It's a violent sport, and personally, I am not worried about that. I think it's important to educate. So I think when kids are younger, especially, there is a real danger when your brain is still forming and different things like that, to be getting into an excessive amount of head contact. And I know head contact's not natural by any means. On a larger scale, though, I think the way we play football has dramatically changed. I think I remember when I first started at practice, like in high school, we used to just tackle and hit for no reason. Sometimes it was like, well, we're going to teach you how to hit. And it's like you're hitting your head, and it's like, oh, my head's ringing. It's like, all right, that's fine. Just kind of shake it off. It'll go.
Just tough it out, right?
Exactly. Like, oh, you just got your bell rung. It's fine. But I think now when even university, like, I've noticed, like, we don't hit in practice. We don't really come into contact. Honestly, there's a lot of times where it's essentially you're just hugging the guy. It's just to say, you know what, I would have gotten you in a live situation. And if we do contact, a lot of times we're using like a pad or something padded, so it's not the full brunt of the force on each other. So there are a lot of steps. I think practice is the biggest time when we need to keep it safe, and we do.
Yeah. So what would you say is the sort of, I don't want to say solution for concussions, because I don't think you or I are smart enough to think of some bam, we've cured concussions, yeah, sort of thing. But what would you say is a good way to sort of omit concussions sort of from football?
Trying to remedy the situation?
Exactly,
I would think,
yeah,
First and foremost, it's education. So teaching younger kids and keeping them out of the game maybe earlier, instead of tackling, play flag, or hone your skills in another way. Maybe wait till high school at least to start playing. And I know there's still a lot of brain development going, but maybe wait. Second thing I would say would be equipment. I know in high school it's hard to find the funding, so some of the equipment's really shoddy and kids end up with really crappy equipment. So equipment is number two, and then three I think is just technique. I genuinely believe if you tackle in a way, maybe to wrap somebody's leg up and twist so your head's not getting involved, there are real ways. You don't have to just try to blow somebody up every time. There are real ways you can try to prevent your head from actually engaging in contact. And I think those, honestly, you can see concussions reduced and even later down the road with brain trauma.
Yeah. So what would you say is a good age for parents to sign up their kids? Would you say maybe high school age, grade 9 or 10, or later on?
I mean, I didn't start till grade 9. And so that's what, 14 years old?
Yeah, 14, 13, 14, yeah.
And I don't think it hindered me in any way. I genuinely believe, you know, I was still able to hone my skills and everything like that. I mean, you can play touch football, you can play flag football. There are other forms of football you can play. So I don't think it necessarily hinders to be like, I need to get my kid in the game young. If your kid's athletic and your kid's smart, and
they'll be able to pick it up.
Exactly. They'll figure it out. But I mean, I personally, I would say around that 14 age. But I know you can't discount the amount of experiences and love for the game people had when they were younger.
Now, how did you get from football player to DJ?
So that's an interesting one. I think first thing is that people, sometimes when they see, oh, you play football or you're an athlete, they don't necessarily see that, hey, you know, you do a variety of things. You're interested in more than just sports.
Right.
And one thing that's really cool was I've always had a love for kind of videography, camera work, broadcasting. And so I think it was last summer, my buddy Kiefer and I, we went to high school together. He's actually my co-host on our Hawkeye show. We came up with an idea of saying, hey, what if we argue sports together. Let's argue it on a podcast. So we started that, and it was really fun.
So what do you generally talk about? Your show, Hawkeyes, every 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Yes? So 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, Hawkeyes, we talk about Laurier sports. So anything that goes on. So we talk about a lot of basketball, hockey. We even talked curling the other day. We'll bring people on and have a guest to interview, different things like that. So we try and focus on athletes and their stories. So that's what we do on Hawkeyes. So I think it was really fun because it was just Kiefer and I, you know, we've been friends for a while. So it makes for a good show and just makes us hang out. It's really a hangout.
So what's the most heated sports debate you two have ever gotten into?
We get into a lot of heated debates, mostly because I think he's wrong. But I would say it mostly comes through. Football is definitely where we get heated. And I think he's one of those fans where he knows he's for a team and he will just defy logic.
He'll go, every other team sucks. This is my team.
Exactly.
Your team sucks.
Exactly. So he'll root for players when they're on his team. They're the greatest player. When they're not, it's like, that guy was a bum. So who cares?
Yeah.
So those are most of the arguments we get into.
So what's his team that you root for usually?
So for football, he's a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Which, I mean, you never meet one of those people. I don't think you genuinely meet anybody.
It's like a unicorn, really.
Exactly. Like, you know what it is, but you know, like, you're never gonna find one.
No.
And I don't think people outside of Cincinnati genuinely root for the Bengals.
Yeah. Now, what's your team of choice?
I'm a New York Giants fan. Which I can give some backstory. It came to me when that was the first football game my dad, my brother, and I, we all sat down to watch. So that was like, you know what? I want to be a Giants fan. And I've stuck with it ever since. It's been well over 12 years.
Ooh, nice. Personally, I'm a bit of a Patriots fan.
Okay, okay.
Don't hit me.
That's fine. I'll refrain.
But yeah, I'm a huge Patriots fan. I'm not a very intense football fan, but if I'm going to sit down to watch a game, it's going to be a Patriots
fan. You're
going to
watch
fan.
A Patriots game.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. Now, do you pay? Are you specifically football, or do you pay attention to any other sports?
I kind of do. I watch a lot of basketball. Try and mix in a little hockey, but other than that, I really don't dabble too much. I mean, I'm not really like a big tennis or soccer guy. Soccer for me is more World Cup. I find it really hard to follow.
Personally, I find it's just a lot of guys running around on the fields. not really too interesting.
That's not your cup of tea.
I'm a huge MMA fan.
Okay.
Mixed martial arts.
Yeah, yeah.
So that should tell you just like two guys locked in a cage, beating the crap out of each other, guys on a soccer field.
So the problem I have with MMA though is it's so late at night.
Anytime
you go sit down, it's either you're gonna watch the prelims that start at like 7 and then it goes till midnight, and then you're like, okay, the main event's finally here, and then there's still like two, three main event fights, and then you're like, okay, finally the fight I want to watch, which is at 1 a.m, and then I'm half asleep by then. So I've always found it hard to be into MMA.
Oh yeah, I went to one UFC event, I think it was UFC 207, and I was up to like 2 a.m. until the main event. I was just sitting in my seat. There were some good fights, and I was just like, okay, check my watch, 1:30. Come on!
I know, and then it's like the actual fight you want to watch comes on, and you're like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
So, you said you watch hockey. Who's your favorite team hockey-wise?
The Leafs. You know,
my man.
Toronto guy. Born in Toronto, so.
So you gotta go for the Leafs.
It's a hometown team.
Exactly.
So can't have hate for that.
So what do you think their prospect is for the season so far?
Oh, they've been looking really good. I think, obviously, their defense has been struggling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'll pick up. I mean, goaltending has been pretty well good for them, so.
Oh, yeah.
You can always outscore teams.
At least
you have the problem of being able to outscore teams rather than not able to score.
Exactly.
It's harder to try and manufacture goals or keep teams to one or two goals so that you can finally squeak in a couple. So they have a good problem to have. And I mean, the trade deadline's still coming up, and you know, they have pieces they could probably move.
Exactly. Do you think they got a cup team this year or a soon to be cup team?
I genuinely believe with the addition of Tavares, they have a cup team.
Yeah.
I think it gives them veteran leadership that they needed, and kind of it shuffles the deck a little bit. There have been some guys like Tyler Bolzak, James Van Riemsdyk, they've been on the team for a long time, so it's kind of nice to shuffle the deck and get some new pieces and refresh, just refresh.
Yeah, and I like to point out, they're good players, but sometimes we do need sort of like a little spice,
exactly.
In there. Now, we've got a couple messages coming in from fans, so we're going to bet on the football subject.
Yeah, for sure.
With you. One person asks, is it better for your finances to play football in Canada or the US? What do you think?
If I'm going to ask this from like my personal side, as a Canadian, it can be tough because even trying to get to an American university, it costs so much. So if you don't get a full scholarship, like there's no way you're going to be able to afford the international fees and everything like that.
Right.
I think the amount of money they put into their sports almost makes it like an experience worthwhile, but that'll discredit that. In Canada, we have some quality football. I know the money necessarily isn't the same in terms of the broadcast, the amount of people that go and everything like that, but that's the discount that, you know, Canada has some really good athletes. And it would be, I would be upset if I didn't mention that, you know what, honestly, there's 100 and something Division I teams.
Yeah, about that.
Canada has 56 U-Sport teams. And I think, honestly, our 56 can take on a good majority of those 100 teams.
So would you say Canada has more selection, sorry, not more selection, but more power just because they have less sort of selection for universities?
I would say no, because I think you can tell, like, there are certain Canadian programs that really dominate. So if it's for football, you'll see, like, Laval, you see Calgary, you see Western, you see certain programs that absolutely dominate in the scouting and different things like that, and they put the funds in. But I think, honestly, like Canada has some good football players. Mm-hmm. And there are guys that come from Division I, they come to Canada and think they're just going to ball out, and it's just not that way.
So, if you don't mind me asking, because I know money is a bit touchy, but Canadian footballs get paid at all compared to American footballs players?
Which ones?
I know, say, you know, if you're American football player, you know, playing out of college, you might get paid a couple $100s or whatever. Is that the same for Canadian football players at all?
It's all volunteer. Yeah. It's all volunteer. So you're doing this either for the pure love of the game or just because you want to. So that's about it.
So for football for you, was there any motivation to go down to the States at all? Or was it just, you know what, I want to stay in Canada just because it's cheaper?
I honestly never even thought about going to the States. I know a lot of people that maybe did it for high school because you can get some really good exposure that way. But I never had my eyes set on, hey, let me try and play American ball. Never thought about it. I never really cared that much. To be honest, I never thought I was going to play football in university. So just to get to this point where, you know, I've been able to start games and, you know, able to do that, that's been more than a dream. So I'm more than thankful for that. So to think, should I have played Division I or whatever it is? No, I don't even look at it.
After university, do you want to continue on with football or do you want to go on a different route?
To me, that's not even something I've ever thought about. So I've more thought about it as I only wanted to play just to be able to coach. I thought, hey, if I even play just 1 year, that'll give me some really good exposure. I can go back, coach high school, go back and coach GCI, those Gulf Coasts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where my head's at. Like, it's kind of, you want that extra level of football knowledge. And I thought, you know, maybe if that's the only reason. And then, you know, you kind of, year two, you're like, oh, I'm still on the team. They kind of want me. You know, I'm going to be, in year three, you're like, oh, my goodness, I'm playing. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm going to stay. So I never even thought about going pro. That's never been something in my mind.
So you're more focused on the coaching aspects then?
Yeah, I'm more focused on... I don't think I'm somebody who personally wants to do that, and I think I have a lot of other career aspirations, so I've always thought I'd chase those instead.
What are some of your career aspirations?
For me right now, it's kind of looking at something in the media industry. So whether that be TV broadcasting, like freelance... anything really. So like I've been doing this thing at Radio Laurier for It's been about close to coming in on a year now. So, I mean, I never thought that I would have this much, like, fun doing something like a radio show. So just even something that simple is, like, it's fun. So, and you know, you can start to see, like, oh, my goodness, I never even thought of that as a career. So it's been an awesome opportunity. And that's what Laurier has been. It's just been opportunity after opportunity to see your career path. So I feel like I'm advertising for the university, but
yeah.
It really is. Like, so radio could be something I see my future in, too.
Well, I mean, Laurier is a great school, so I see why you're advertising. I mean, it's great to be a Dolnot, right?
It is.
I think you're really breaking down stereotypes. I think people always see football players as, you know, the meatheads, the jocks, the sort of, you know. But I think you're really breaking down stereotypes. You're showing that, hey, we have personalities outside of football.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think it's a little bit of a misled stereotype. I think it's, in a similar way, it'd be like thinking every person in the military is a front lines. He's an infantry soldier. If you join the military, you're not going on the front lines necessarily.
No.
You could be a chef. You could be anything.
You could be comms. You could be...
Exactly. So there's this stereotype when people don't really understand it. They just think everything's the same. But one thing I think people don't recognize is football isn't like a lot of other sports. For example, basketball. If you played an entire basketball game and you didn't call a single play, you wouldn't need to. You can kind of just feed off of each other, kind of feel where things are going. Hockey is similar to that. Football is not that. Football, there are easily over, you can easily get 200 plays. And you have to remember that can just be for offense. So it could be what situation, what's the down and distance, what's the quarter, how much time's left on the clock, where's the wind? You know, it all depends on different things. What kind of defense are they giving us? Are they giving us three high? Are they giving us four high? Are they playing all man? Are they playing man with a spy? Are they playing, you know, 3-4? Are they playing four down linemen? It all depends. So it's never that simple. So I think football players are much smarter than a lot of people actually realize. Being able you actually really have to get down and be like, I know what I'm doing in this situation, understand. And there's a lot of kind of deductive reasoning and things like that are going on that a lot of people don't see. They only see, like, the hitting and everything like that.
So they assume it's all just a whole bunch of stereotypical beef heads.
Exactly. But I think that's one thing that kind of transfers into everyday life. It's football players on the field aren't as dumb as they look, and off the field they're not as dumb as they look. They really do. Like, there are guys who do some awesome things in the locker room that you're like, I didn't, you know, if you didn't get to know them, you would have no idea.
Tell us some stories from the locker room, just as an example for, like, things guys have done that you're like, wow, that's amazing.
Honestly, there are some guys who will easily be in there, like, focusing and helping guys tutor and being like, hey, listen, I can help you with your assignment. Guys that we do all kinds of different charity stuff. So we've even, during training camp this year, there's a group, it's Lighthouse. It's for kids with mental disabilities. And, you know, we hung out with them. They came to one of our practices. It was an absolute blast. Sat down and had lunch with them. They are just the brightest. They just brighten your day. It doesn't matter if you're dead tired, your legs are sore, you're bordering on heat stroke. It's like they just come in with an energy. And I've never seen some of the guys that they just opened up and lit up. And we had a little dance battle with them. It was genuinely so exciting. And, you know, there's like this little, oh, you're going to have a dance battle and you're going to let the guy win.
Because, yeah.
No, this kid came out and he absolutely killed it. He absolutely showed up, Shamari, in the dance battle. And it was fun. But it's like you get to see a different side of guys. And it's awesome.
Now, if there were one or two guys, other than yourself, of course, that you'd say are sort of members of the community that, you know, you see always going to, like events like that and things like that, other than yourself, of course, who would you say is probably top people for that?
A guy that jumps right out in my head is Scott Hutter, free safety. He's been one of those guys. He's a leader on the field. He's a leader off the field. He pushes guys. He pushes people in the classroom. He pushes himself in the classroom. He pushes to do outside work. He's involved in so much, football-wise and non-football-wise. So I think that's somebody that jumps right out of my head. Trying to think of other people. I know there are other people. There are tons of other people that are involved in many ways, whether it be in churches, communities, doing anything it takes. Guys are constantly involved, wanting to visit hospitals, whatever it is.
Yeah. So we're going to take another quick break, if that's all right with you. We're going to play a little more rock and music, and we'll come back, talk more about football and DJing.
Yeah.
And we're back. I'm here with Jothan. We're talking about football and DJing.
Yeah, just having a great time.
Yeah, so you were talking about your girlfriend. Is she also a radio host?
No, she's not. She goes to Guelph. She's a weirdo. She goes to Guelph.
Only strange people go to Guelph.
Exactly.
So you were saying about the radio station, though.
Oh, yeah. It's an awesome radio station over there. I mean, it's pretty impressive. But, hey, you know what? We got our thing going.
We got our good thing going here.
I don't think it's not about what you can buy. It's about
It's about the content.
It's about the people, and that's what it's about.
And I'd say we've got probably better content than the Griffins.
I don't even have to worry. I'm guaranteed we have better.
Oh, yeah. Now, we got another question coming in.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's so important for football players to give back to the community?
Honestly, I just think you're big, strong people. And I think you honestly have the ability to affect change. And I think people that have the ability should. So if you are a football player, you know, you are healthy, you are strong. If that means, hey, being able to go to a soup kitchen and just hand out and just help to people who don't have, it's a great opportunity. And I also think football, it gives you that opportunity. Maybe it gives you a little bit of name notoriety that makes people want to have you help out. And anything you can do, I think it's good for your brand and just it's kind of what the game promotes.
So would you say that it helps, again, going back to the stigma and stereotypes of football players, would you say it helps break down those stereotypes as well?
Oh, 100%. I think what puts up those stereotypes is, for example, it's actually just football players, they wear helmets and they wear face masks. You don't see the face. All you see is kind of like the name, number. Sometimes you don't even know what your favorite football player really looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
But what is sometimes when you take off that helmet, you take off that the face mask and everything, it's like you get to see the person under it. And I think that's what giving back really does, is it shows the person under it. So it kind of breaks down and lets people in and see what's behind the helmet.
And I think that's sort of the same with the military. Like, we go on exercises all the time. We have one this weekend, actually. Unfortunately, I couldn't go on just because I have a midterm on Monday that I should probably be studying for. but I think it does sort of the same thing as what you guys do with soup kitchens. We go into the community. Right now they're going on a exercise, and they're going bridging, and that's where they go build a bridge. And it's community members can walk by, and it's like, hey, you guys are in the army. Yeah. And sort of just humanizes you almost.
Exactly. And that's what, I mean, if you're a part of riot police, that's what you don't want to do.
Exactly.
But I think what's important is, you know, you're there for the people. You're not above the people, you're with them.
You are the people.
You are the people. So, and I think people need to recognize that. You know, football players they're just people.
They're just big, strong people who are human and like running into other men.
Exactly. So, but aside from that, you know, we're just regular guys, we're regular students. And you know, sometimes it's just nice to be able to say, you know what, I have gifts that allow me to play football, but I can also use my strength and everything else and affect change.
Right. And now I think that it's time to dip into a bit of a hot topic in news. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know his story, you know, taking a knee during the national anthem.
Yeah.
What do you think about the entire movement? Because I know it's very divisive, dividing up America and a bit Canada as well.
Oh, for sure. I think it's an interesting one. I think there's an aspect to where protest is always allowed and it's peaceful. And I think that's the main thing, is that it's peaceful. It's not causing harm to anybody in particular. It isn't degrading to anybody in particular. I think, so from that standpoint, I understand. And one thing a protest always has to do is it has to get seen. If it's not seen, or it doesn't kind of jar people a little bit the wrong way, are you protesting good?
Probably not.
Yeah. So it has to, and he is getting seen.
Exactly.
But I think from a football and a business standpoint, there's no way I would want him on my team because of that.
Right, just too much controversy around it, right?
Yeah, there's like people like to say, oh, there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's just publicity. But there can be, especially when you're an organization maybe that doesn't have a great track record or different things like that. And you also have to think, is if you're going to be paying him $20 million, and he's the face of your franchise, do his views align with what your views are? And that's up for debate, whether that's depending on the owner. So I can understand, and there's a lot of teams that would only have him as a backup.
Right.
And do you want your backup causing a stir in In the media. Like, I don't want my backup quarterback on CNN.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, from that standpoint, I understand why he might not have a job. But do I think he's qualified? And do I think his protest is inhibiting him from holding an NFL job right now? I certainly do. And I think he is a very qualified football player that really should be playing from that standpoint. But I understand his protest, and I mean, that's part of his sacrifice. If you're going to protest, there has to be a little sacrifice to it, and that's what he's giving up. He has to recognize, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to get paid. I'm not going to get a job, or I might not be able to play football again. So that's his choice,
though. Now, I heard there were some people there saying it wasn't because of the protest they got fired. It was because of his team. I forget who does it
play? 49ers.
The 49ers, yeah. They just didn't want him playing anymore just because they didn't think he was the best quarterback. What do you think about that?
I think he was certainly – he's a guy – I mean, if you're going to just go off his base on his quarterbacking, you think he's a tremendous athlete.
For sure.
Which makes – anytime you play against an athletic quarterback, it makes it very tough to defend. So that's a weapon in and of itself. But I think he's a guy with a big arm, but not necessarily an accurate arm.
Right.
Okay. So it can be hard sometimes to build a team around somebody who has a big arm but not an accurate arm. Often the NFL it doesn't really necessarily matter if you have a big arm and you can sling it 60 yards, but if you can't hit a target, what's the point?
Exactly.
And guys are so athletic at that level. Being off by even a foot, 2 feet, it can be the difference between a pick and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I think from that standpoint, there is a sense of validity to, he shouldn't be playing because of his arm.
Yeah, but do you think it was more the protest that got him fired, or do you think it was more?
Oh, 100%. I think there are, if you pass on, like, there's probably about 10 good quarterbacks in the league right now.
Right.
And then there's probably about 10 trash quarterbacks. And then there's about 10 quarterbacks, you'd say.
In the middle.
They're okay. They're okay. I think he is definitely in that middle category. So I think any one of those bottom 10, those teams with a quarterback where you're saying he's just garbage, but we don't have any other option. Or
they would happily pay him?
I think genuinely he's better than them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
His protest is what's keeping him from getting those jobs.
Now, who are your top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
As of this moment, my top 10 quarterbacks, in no particular order.
Okay.
I'd have to go Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. This is hard. To go 10. Cam Newton on a good day.
Cam Newton on a good day.
Did I say Drew Brees already?
I don't think you did.
Okay, well, then I'm going to include Drew Brees on that because that is a quality quarterback.
Yeah.
Right now, you can't keep Pat Mahomes off that list. Mm. You cannot. I got to throw – oh, man, this is not as easy as you'd think. 10 quarterbacks. I want to put Matt Ryan on that list. I think he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I got 7 right now. Jeez, why is that so hard? I should be able to come up with 10 good quarterbacks.
Yeah, come on, you're the football guy here.
That's crazy.
Oh.
I think I'm stalling out. Oh, you got to put Phillip Rivers on that list. Put Phillip Rivers on that list. You got to put, oh my goodness, Rams quarterback. Why can't I think of his name?
Rams quarterback.
I know it. It's Jared Goff. That's what there, it is. Got to put Jared Goff on that list. And just for my number 10, I'm going to put my own quarterback on that list because I think he's a great quarterback.
Laurier quarterback?
No, I'm going to put Eli Manning on that
list. Oh, okay.
Because I think he gets a bad rap for the Giants. The Giants are a good team. He's getting a bad rap because they have a bad O-line, and I think he deserves to be on that list. So I'm going to put him on that list. oh, trust me. People are not going to agree with that.
Oh, yeah. I'd put... You know, my Patriots number one.
You put Tom Brady number one.
I'm putting Tom Brady number one all the way. But, I mean, I can agree with that list. Yeah. Maybe not the Giants. But, you know, I can definitely.
I can understand. I can hear your argument for not having the Giants on that list. But I'm a fan. I'm a true fan through and through. So I'm a ride. I'm a ride or die.
Fair enough. Now, tell us a bit more about your show. Like, what was your most recent episode about, for example?
Our most recent episode was a pretty basic episode. So we just kind of covered, we started off covering some curling and kind of, Laurie had a really good, the men's curling had an awesome weekend at the tournament. They won five of their six games or four of their five games.
Ooh.
And the only game they didn't win, they tied. So, that they're off to a hell of a good start. But they don't play for a while. I don't think they play till the new year. So it was just kind of like a little invitational.
Right.
And then we talked about the women's and men's basketball teams. Now, the Laurier men's basketball team is a really good team right now. They are nationally ranked. They are top 9 in the country, which I think nobody outside of them probably would have believed that this year going into the season. And I think it was that It was the game against Carleton, who is number one in the country, and they lost by 3 points.
Only three?
Exactly. So, and that's an away game going on the road. Carleton's 5 hours from here, so that's just, it's an impressive win. It's an impressive loss, which is which is rare to say that you look
someone
at
someone lost impressively.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of what put the country on notice, saying, hey, the men's basketball team is a real team. So we covered that, and we were sharing our high hopes, because, you know, it is awesome to see when you see, you know, Laurier football was one of the teams that was ranked this year.
Exactly.
And to be able to share another team that you're like, hey, listen, we are a good athletic university, even though we're small, 17,000 strong?
Yeah, about that.
But we can put out good product, and we don't need to have 30,000, 40,000 students to be able to have a good team. And Laurier men's basketball is proving that. And then we touched on a little hockey. I mean, this week I wish I had gone to the hockey game up in the
yard. Oh yeah, that looks like it was a good time.
The school day game, and Laurier men got a big dub. So, you know, we love to cover these type of things, it's genuinely fun for us, because, you know, I love being a fan of the sports at school. I love it. Absolutely love it. We have awesome athletics. We have awesome athletes, their personalities. Everything about the school is actually just, it's fun. It's an awesome community to be involved in. And being able to do this show where we now get to take an in-depth look at it and really get to, you know, talk about it and go through the stories that are going on, it's so fun.
Now, what are your hopes for the future of Laurier Sports and your radio show?
Well, I'll start with Laurier Sports. Laurier Sports, I just, you know, I hope it just continues to grow. I think every time we do well, it gives more of an opportunity for people who are not deeply involved in the sport to take notice. So that helps with recruiting classes. So next time, when Laurier men do have a good season like this for basketball, the 16, 17, 18-year-olds that are looking, hey, where should I go play basketball in university? Where should I get scouted? Where should I send my tape to? Where should I call coaches or whatever it is? They put Laurier on that list. They don't just put Ryerson. They don't just put Carleton on that list. They don't put Calgary on that list. They put Laurier on that list, which is so important, because anytime you get an opportunity to secure some good quality athletes, it builds and builds. And that's when you start getting a winning culture. That's when you get a school that can be rich with athletics, where you're saying, listen, we can have kids play from Team Canada basketball, and we can continue that. So that's something that's so awesome to see. So for Laurier Sports, I just want to continue. The more success we have, the more success we'll continue to have. Because at this level, it's all about your recruiting classes. And if you can get those high-quality recruits, you know, a lot of guys don't defer from going to the States. So if we can get those high-quality recruits, it'll be awesome.
We just got to nab them all from the States and say, hey, we got Laurier right here.
Hey, if we could recruit, if we could get NBA scouts in here, you know, Canada would be an absolute breeding ground for basketball.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's the difference, is that there's a Canadian football league. So we get pro scouts at our practice. We'll get, right. You know, guys are on notice, but, you know, it's Canadian basketball. Guys aren't really on notice to go to the NBA or anything like that. So
it's
makes
sort
it
of like
tough.
Women's soccer almost. Like, everyone watches FIFA. No one, unfortunately, no one really watches women's soccer. That's sort of the same
exactly. So it's like, If we could, like, no one's watching FIBA basketball in the same number we're watching the NBA or even exactly. March Madness. So when you get a quality recruit, his immediate thing is, hey, I'm going to go to the States, because if I'm trying to go to the NBA, I have to. Like, you think Jamal Murray. Do you think Jamal Murray could have played here? Of course he could have. He would have lit up the league, but would he have been a one and done and been in the NBA right now? No, I don't think so.
No, probably not. He would have just stuck around, not had a career in the NBA at all.
Exactly. So, I mean, it kind of, unfortunately, it stifles just because you don't get those pro looks. But I want to see just quality athletes come through. And and I want to tell them, hey, it is an awesome school to be a part of.
Oh, for sure.
I think, what are there, 500 student athletes? Which is crazy when you think about how many students we have.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, other schools, like, come close to that number, and they have twice the population as us. So we have a very intense athletic culture here, and it'll only continue to grow the more we do well and put Laurier on the map. And for our radio show, I just want to see, you know, it's an absolute blast. I mean, hey, if we can get sponsors, that'd be amazing.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, we can do giveaways. I would do all kinds of things. So I think it'd be really fun, you know, just keeping at it. I think that's something that it's so fun. And you know, we slowly develop new, you know, come up with new segments, and we're creative. Kiefer and I are constantly being creative to think, what can we do that can push, you know, push some cool new content forward or anything like that. So it's fun.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is sort of a Christmassy episode. I was playing some Christmas music earlier and stuff, talking about Christmas traditions. Do you have any Christmas traditions of your own?
Not particularly. So I grew up in a Christian household.
Right.
So everything we do is very centered around, you know, going to church, going... usually my family, what we do is we wake up on Christmas morning. We have like a little kind of Bible study almost in the morning, just kind of hang out as a family, open gifts. And then it's kind of, we go and hang out with my extended family. So it's like Christmas dinner. But other than that, we don't really have any crazy traditions. We don't do anything. It's not like we do a real tree every time. We'll do it sometimes. Nothing. I like a real tree, but it gets annoying sometimes.
It gets old. You don't sweep it up every like 3 days.
Exactly. You gotta water. Like, why am I watering a tree that's dying?
Yeah. Why am I keeping you alive? You're gonna be here for two more days. Then
exactly.
You're out of here.
Exactly. So we don't do that. But you know, we have our little kind of tradition. Nothing crazy. Nothing too fancy.
Yeah, I think you and I are sort of the same. Like I decorate gingerbread with my family. Mm-hmm. I was raised, again, like you, in a Christian household.
Yeah.
We'll go to the church the night before. Then
yeah,
wake
Christmas
up the next,
Eve service. Yeah.
Christmas Eve service, then wake up the next day, open presents. It's fun, but nothing, you know, huge.
Yeah, it's usually, like my parents didn't want to commercialize it too much.
Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So it was, you know, you guys get a few gifts, but it's really about, it's first and foremost, it's about the birth of Christ. And then secondly, it's about just hanging out as a family, you know, just sharing some quality time together.
Being together, yeah.
Exactly. And that's with the extended family and everything. So
yeah, I think that's really what Christmas is about, you know, if you're Christian or if you are not a religious person. I think it's just we can all agree that Christmas is about just being together with people.
Yeah, and even if you don't celebrate, if you're Muslim, you celebrate Kwanzaa, you celebrate Hanukkah, it doesn't matter. But, you know, take the quality time. I mean, we are in a country where, you know, we do get Christmas off.
Exactly.
So it's a great opportunity even just to hang out with people you love and just share that time. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we only have a finite time on here.
Exactly. And I think it's also a good time, just as you did mention people who don't celebrate Christmas, it's a good time to maybe bring them into your house and say, hey, let's have a meal together. I know
exactly.
You don't celebrate this, but we'll just have a meal together.
Exactly. Just be hospitable and that's what it is. It's sharing that. You can share a gift in a multitude of ways. But it's awesome. No, I love Christmas time. I'm a big Christmas time.
Oh, me too.
I love Christmas music. I'm blasting it in the car constantly.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay. This is a huge thing for me. When is the perfect time to start playing Christmas music?
Honestly, I've already started playing some Christmas music. So it's not even been like, I know a lot of people are like December. It has to be after American Thanksgiving. Like some people are Halloween. I know Halloween's early. After Halloween, that's a little early for me.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I understand if you're getting some of the light Christmas decorations out, you know, like maybe like I'm not judging you.
But we're just saying.
2 months to prepare for Christmas, it's a little much. It's a little much for me. So I'm more on the train of, you know, especially if you start, like right now, we're seeing the snowfall, it's freezing. It feels like Christmas is coming.
It does, yeah.
So I'm cool with it. I'm cool with some Christmas music, but I usually keep it for, you know, kind of last week of November, kind of that
going into
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I keep it. I mean, I don't want to be rocking Christmas tunes while I'm trying to watch some day Thanksgiving football.
Exactly. Personally, for me, I always say, wait until after Remembrance Day, then we'll go with the light Christmas music.
Exactly. If you're doing it before Remembrance Day, I feel like you got your priorities wrong. Man, we're given 11 days. We're given 11 days to just, you know, focus on our freedom and the sacrifices people have made for it. So let's give it that.
Let's give it that and then go on with your Christmas.
Exactly. Give it a little bit more.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we do have to wrap up. We got another show. It's a new show coming on, actually, after me. Because usually there was no one coming on, and I could just go till 2, which was amazing. But
Gotta be considerate.
Yeah, we gotta be considerate. So we got a new show coming on. So any last words you want to give out to the audience, promote football, that sort of thing?
Hey, listen, go support your Golden Hawks. That's after doing Hawkeyes and everything like that, that's all I want to say is go support your student athletes. They put in a tremendous amount of work, days that you don't see. And, you know, it's nice to get a little bit of recognition from the student body. It doesn't cost a lot, especially a basketball game. $2.
Oh, yeah.
Go support your Golden Hawks. Have fun. sports are fun. Let's support them. Football, hockey, whatever it is, go support it.
And tune into the tune into Hawkeyes Tuesday
and support us, because we are student athletes, Kiefer and I.
Exactly.
So support us, Hawkeyes. What is it? 9 p.m. on Tuesday. So yeah, go support.
And you stayed, Golden Pony Boy. This last song, again, we're going back to one of my favorite musicals of all time. One of the only musicals I actually enjoy. Got a tattoo on my bicep from it. From now on, from The Greatest Showman, remastered by the Zac Brown Band.